Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Benjamins, bills, bucks, cheddar, cash, greenbacks. It's all names for money. Some of these are more popular than others, obviously, but in our society we have a lot of different names for money. This morning, however, based on what our gospel reading tells us, it seems only appropriate that I mention at least two more. Dough and bread. Now, I'm not sure how these terms eventually got associated with money, but it really makes a lot of sense. I mean, bread and water are the two things that we kind of consider as being like the basics of what you need to provide sustenance for your body. It's the basic of how to just survive. Bread and water. And yet this morning, what does Jesus tell us? That man shall not live by bread alone. These are the words that Jesus used when he was resisting the devil's temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone. Words that Jesus says after he wanders around the desert for 40 days without any food. But what does that mean? What does it mean that man should not live by bread alone? Well, in order to understand that, we have to jump back to where Jesus found this little verse being written down. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. God here is speaking to his people after he had delivered the manna in the wilderness to them. And he said, "The Lord humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, Jesus doesn't tell us to avoid bread. The reason that he says this is because we need to keep bread, whether that is our physical sustenance or our money or whatever such thing, we need to keep it in proper perspective. I mean, physical life, it is sustained by bread, but not by bread alone. See, the temptation that the devil actually gave to Jesus in the wilderness was for him to use his power selfishly. To kind of point at God, God the Father, and go, "I don't need you to provide for me, Father. Instead, I have it from my own power to provide for myself." That was what was at stake. And if Jesus turns stones into bread, then he becomes selfish, and therefore he sins. And that way we are tempted too, just like Jesus was. We're tempted to be selfish, to think that man does live by bread alone. That's when we start to measure our life by all kinds of worldly standards, like how much money we make, or how much money we have in our bank account, or how much money we have for retirement, or how nice our car is, or how nice our house is, or how nice our newest device is, or maybe just by how much fun we can have. We measure life by all of these different measuring sticks that the world has propped up for us and say, if you want to live a fulfilling life, what do you need? You need bread. Whatever that bread may be. It could be money. It could just be bread. It could be anything. But that's not what we're supposed to value above all else. Now, as Christians, we know this. I mean, none of this is new to you. We know the importance of living by God's word. We have faith. We should set our minds on heavenly things. We're aware of all these things. But even though we are aware of them, and even though that is what our greatest desire is to do, we still get caught up time and time again in trying to understand and grab and have the bread of this world. The temptation is real. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, 40 days without food. I'm sorry, if I go 4 hours without food, I get kind of angry, right? But Jesus here, he's 40 days without food. And so the temptation to turn these rocks into bread must have been overwhelming. But what does he do? He remains perfect. He conquers Satan's temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone. When temptations come our way, whatever they may be, we would do well to have the same confession. Because we have those moments in our lives where we know that our body desires to sin, that it desires to transgress God's law, and we have this moment where we get to stop and think, are we going to do it, or are we going to remain faithful? And in that moment, I want you to repeat these words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Because I promise you, if you say those words, you will have the power to resist the devil's temptation. And it's not power that you have on your own. It is power that has been granted to you by God's word. Because if you look at how Jesus fights the devil's temptation all through this text, he doesn't just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to try really hard right now. No, he goes back to God's word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. That's where he finds his power and what God has actually written down for our benefit. We return to the word in temptation. You know, another Bible verse that isn't in our readings or anything for today, but from 1 Corinthians, right? God says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, ready? And this is important. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. God has given us each an escape hatch. It's there for you. It's literally provided. In every temptation, God has given you a way out. It's like what we said in, a few moments ago in A Mighty Fortress. One little word can fell the devil. One little word can overcome Satan's temptations. It's the word of Christ. It's the word of Scripture. It's the word of faith. And so if there's anything that you take away from the sermon today, or you know, even as we like embark into this Lenten season, is that you should make good use of the word. Read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the Scriptures. That's what the Lord wants you to do during Lent, and honestly, every day of your life. Because if we don't make good use of the word, we will be more susceptible to Satan's temptation. We won't have anything to defend ourselves with. And so God gives his word to you, and he gives it abundantly. I mean, that's one of the greatest things about living in the time that we do. We can find the word of God anywhere. I have like 15 Bibles on the shelf. And in each of my offices, for that matter. You have the Bible on your cell phone. You probably have a Bible on your bedside table. You probably have a Bible somewhere like holding up like the shaky table leg. Like we use Bibles all over the place. They're everywhere. And God wants us to use them. And so this Lent, right? Sacrifice 15 minutes of sleep every morning. Wake up 15 minutes earlier to spend some time in prayer and read the Scriptures. On Sunday, maybe? I mean, you guys are preaching to the choir, right? Actually come to church instead of sleeping in. Or honestly, we're going to have Bible study this morning, right? Can we stick around for an hour after the service just to invest in and receive God's word to a greater extent? I mean, it's a lot easier to stick around on Sunday than to come back here another day of the week to come to my Bible study, right? It's all good, right? God, he gives his word to us over and over and over again because that's how much he loves us. But here's the difficulty, and this is, you know, something I really haven't touched on yet in this sermon. Set yourself to do this. I want you to do this. And in fact, God wants you to do this, which is more important. But know, too, that you are going to fail. You're not going to be perfect Christians this week. You're not going to be perfect Christians during Lent. And I don't say that because I think that we need to be fatalistic or just, you know, give ourselves into the failure. That's not what's at stake here. We're called to be faithful. But I want you to know that you're going to fail ahead of time because you're not Jesus. As much as we would like to be perfect people, if we think that one day we will be perfect, we will have no need for our Savior. And this is what really brings us back to that temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Because for all the times that we have failed temptation in the past, and we will fail the temptations in the future, Jesus was still faithful for you. He overcame Satan's temptations because he knew that you would never be able to do it perfectly. He is the perfect Son of God because we are not perfect sons and daughters of God. Jesus wins victory because we can't win victory. That's what the word does. I mean, man shall not live by bread alone because we can't. If you try to live by bread alone, it's death. That's the end of everyone's life, isn't it? But as Jesus shows us the importance of God's word, and you know what? God does provide him bread eventually, right? I mean, Jesus eats again after this account. But what he did is he made sure that he was seeking the things of the kingdom of God first. And that means he was seeking you. You see, in Jesus' victory over Satan, in Jesus' victory over all of his temptations, over death itself, as he dies on the cross and goes into the tomb and then rises again on Easter Sunday, Jesus doesn't just win victory for himself. He wins victory for you. He wins your forgiveness. That's what the word is about. In fact, that's what your baptism is about. It connects you by word to Christ. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. It connects you by word and bread and wine to Christ. That's what our liturgy is about. It connects you to Christ. That's what singing A Mighty Fortress or all of these Christocentric hymns that we have in our hymnal, the reason we do it is because it connects you to Christ. You don't have victory on your own. You only have it in Jesus. And so, as man does not live by bread alone, and he lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, we know what that word is. And that word is Jesus, the one who shed his blood, died on the cross, and came back to life for you. My friends, I want you to eat bread. I want you to have bread. I want all of the daily bread, all of the physical sustenance things to be well provided for you in your life. But not over and above the Word of God. If we're going to be honest about what's most important in this life, I would rather starve to death as a Christian than die fat and full without faith. And I hope the same is true for you. And so recognizing who your Savior is, knowing that he resisted the devil for you, that he laid down his perfect life for you, and that he came back for you. Remember these words, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In faith, we are those people who live by God's word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your bread in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.